Thank you very much, Yule, and it's a joy to be with you here this morning in Carrick. I'm going to give you all a gift this morning as we begin. I had a friend who once said, why trust your memory when the Lord has given you a biro? Okay, why trust your memory when the Lord has given you a biro? So I'm going to give you all a free Baptist Missions pen this morning. You may have come across a copy of our prayer news already on your seat, and you can use that maybe to note down something that you may want to remember this morning, and by the time you get home to lunch, you'll have forgotten. So hopefully that pen, and I'm told most of them work, so they should work, and hopefully you can note down something this morning, maybe a person to pray for, maybe a situation to pray for, and if you're not somebody who usually gets our prayer news, then please take a copy with you this morning, and if you see one on your seat and you do get our prayer news, then why not pick it up and give it to somebody else in the church this morning and encourage them to get it instead. Well, thank you very much for the invite. Thank you, Peter. You may not know this, but I think Peter's the only person who's ever done the amazing journey in an all-Irish-speaking part of Ireland, in the Gaeltacht region in West Waterford. So he didn't speak fluently in Irish that day, but he did try a couple of words. And I think so far, Peter, nobody else has ever done that again. So very happy memories of serving with Peter down in Cork and into County Waterford with the amazing journey not too many years ago. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writing a letter to a church that he'd been involved in planting. A church that, if you read his first letter in 1 Corinthians that we have in the scriptures, had a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. And Paul writes this more, I suppose, pastoral encouraging letter, secondly to the church. And we're going to pick up our reading in chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we recommend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for freedom in this land to gather together like this morning. We thank you for your word in our own language that we can freely read. We pray for brothers and sisters across this world this morning who don't have all those privileges that we have today. We ask, Father, that your spirit would teach us from your word. You would, Lord, challenge us, equip us, encourage us, and send us from this place, Lord, trusting you, the God who can do all things, to work in us and through us, that which is pleasing in your sight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing this church in Corinth, he says, he reminds them that this ministry that he has is by the mercy of God. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And what is Paul saying to them? He's saying, listen, all that we are and all that we do, he is the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, was simply because of the mercy of God. He knew that he was in this ministry, not because he chose it himself, not because he sought God himself, but because he, by the mercy of God, had been met on that road to Damascus, blinded in his going, and met the risen Lord Jesus, and had come to that place of repentance and faith in him. And he knew that he was in this ministry because of the mercy of God. The Apostle Peter writes to the churches in 1 Peter, where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And whatever ministry you and I have this morning, whether it's up here playing and singing, whether it's at the back on the PA or the sound, whether it's serving the coffee, whether it's putting out the chairs, whatever it might be, if you're a believer here this morning, we're here, aren't we, simply because and only because of the mercy of God extended to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sang as a child the words, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." And this morning, whatever ministry you have, and if you're a believer, you should have one in your local church. You should be doing something, ticking that box, whatever it is, and that sheet. And we all need to be involved. It's simply because we're people living under the mercy of God. And living under the mercy of God, I want to suggest this morning, there's some things that we dare not do. There's some things we cannot do. There's some things we all can do. And there are some things that only God can do. Well, let's look at a moment, firstly, at something that we dare not do. Look what Paul says in verse 2. He says, "We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." Here's something we dare not do. We dare not tamper with God's word. We dare not change God's message. This word, this gospel, this truth that God has revealed in the pages of his holy book belong to God. It's his word. It's his message. And we dare not change or twist or tamper it to suit or to fit in with what society's thinking, what trends are out there, where the world is going. We need to stay true to the word of God. So Paul says, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. That's what you need to be about here in Carrickfergus. That's what we need to be about as a mission and Baptist mission, staying true to God's word, staying true to God's gospel, recognizing that all that we do is because of the mercy of God. We dare not tamper with the word of God. Here's something we cannot do. Look what Paul says in verse 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Verse 4, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You see, there's something you and I cannot do. I've got a cold, so I'm kind of struggling with that. There's something we cannot do. We cannot open the minds of unbelievers. Paul says the God of this world, the devil, Satan himself, the one who's been a liar from the beginning, the one who deceived our first fathers in the Garden of Eden, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There's something we dare not do. We dare not tamper with God's word. There's something we cannot do. We cannot change or make to see the minds of unbelievers who've been blinded by the God of this world. You and I can't do it. We can argue all day with the person next door. We can put Bibles and literature to it, the letterbox of our neighbors, till the Lord comes again. It won't make any difference unless God works in those people's lives. Because here's something only God can do. Look what Paul says in verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, there's something we cannot do, but there's something only God can do. The same God who spoke in the beginning and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The same God who, by the power of his word, created this universe and all that there is the same God who can make the blind to see, who can cause spiritual blindness to be lifted in the minds and hearts of anyone. And how do we know? Well, look around. Look in the mirror. How do we know that God is able to do it? Because look what Paul says. The same God who's let light shine has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we didn't write the hymn, but we can all sing it, can't we? I once was blind, but now I see. Why? Not because we sought God, but because he sought us. Because God in his grace and mercy opened our eyes and caused us to see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And we're back to the mercy and grace of God extended to us. There's something we dare not do. We dare not tamper with God's word. There's something we cannot do. We cannot open the minds of unbelievers. There's something that only God can do. Only God can bring people from darkness to light. But brothers and sisters, this morning, there's something we all can do. Look what Paul says in verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, if you're a believer here this morning, whatever your background, you have a story. You have a story of how God worked in your life, whether he brought you into contact with another believer who lived next door in school and work, how he caused you to hear his truth. How somebody explained to you the gospel message and God by his spirit drew you to himself. Oh, you may not have understood it all at the time. I certainly didn't when I became a Christian. You may not have been able to articulate it all. We still can't fully understand it, can we? How, why God maybe chose us and not somebody else. But we all have a story to tell if we belong to Jesus this morning and we can all tell people about him. Paul says what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, if you belong to Jesus this morning, if you're living under the mercy of God, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, then you have a story to tell. You have a Savior to speak of. You have a gospel that you can proclaim wherever you go to whoever you meet. And if you're really rejoicing in the mercy of God to you, do you know what? It won't be a chore. It won't be something you have to kind of drum yourself up to doing. But if you've understood and are rejoicing and are reveling and are living in the mercy of God to you this morning, then surely we cannot but tell of our Savior. We cannot but speak of him. We cannot but go to others, friends, family, neighbors, people we live amongst, to the world itself, and tell them of our Savior. And see God doing what only God can do and bringing that light into people's lives and seeing people coming from darkness to light. Can I ask you this morning in Carrickfergus Baptist Church, do you have the joy this morning of knowing that you're living under the mercy of God? Like I said a moment ago, surely the question we must ask ourselves is, why me? If I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me. If you were God, you probably wouldn't choose me either. But isn't it amazing this morning? God, who knows all about us, all we've ever done, all we've ever been, all we ever would be, in his infinite mercy and love, sent his Son, as we remember in a few moments, the one who was without sin, who became sin for you and I, that we might go free, that we could have a relationship with him, an eternal relationship with him, that doesn't end when the grave calls, but actually begins in earnest at that moment. We enter into his presence and we'll be with him forever. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if we're living under the mercy of God, let's not tamper with God's word. Let's be true to it. Let's not try and change the hearts and minds of unbelievers. We never can. Let's be about the business of proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified and look to God to do what only he can do and bring people from darkness to light. That's what we're seeking to do in Baptist missions. I'll introduce myself for a moment, because some of you may not know me. I'm from Dublin originally. The accident may have given that away. My wife's from Belfast. We've got four children, three adult children now. And we live in Marilyn, the metropolis of Marilyn, somewhere between Lurgan and Moira. For 17 years, we lived in Cork, serving with Baptist missions there. And about 4.5 years ago, we moved from Cork here to Marilyn to serve the Lord. And I'm currently the director of Baptist missions. And I work in the Baptist Center very close to where Dave works day by day. Pray for Dave. Dave and I get on very well, generally. The one time we fell out was when Dave had to share a room with me. And because of my snoring, he didn't sleep at all. And we haven't shared a room since, and he won't do it anymore. But other than that, we get all well together. What are we about? And Peter took my words earlier. Baptist missions were your mission. It's not my mission. It doesn't belong to a group of people in Moira. But Baptist missions is yours. Why? Because you're one of the churches in our family of churches, our association of churches. You're one of those 116. And so Baptist missions is your mission. And twice a year, I stand before representatives of this church to give account of what we're doing as a mission. And every time one of our Baptist missions workers comes here to Carrickfergus, they're giving an account to you as the church you've sent them to go and bring the gospel to other people. They're reporting back to you, one of their churches who support them. And so thank you for the prayers that you pray. Thank you for the gifts that you give. Thank you for the support that you give in order that your missionaries can carry on doing your work for you across this world. Our business is proclaiming Christ and planting churches. That's what we want to do. Make the Lord Jesus known, as Paul says. Proclaim him and see new believers gathered to worship him. Thank you for sending out David and Pamela to Shankill. And praise God for Hannah this morning at the back working the PowerPoint too. But thank you for sending out David and Pamela. But you know, they're an illustration of what we're doing together, because you as a church have sent David and Pamela to work in the Shankill. Praise God. You support them. Hallelujah. You pray for them. Yes. But you know what? It's because of the other 115 churches and a family of churches who give to Baptist missions that enable David and Pamela to do the work that they do. So we're in this together. We're a family of churches seeking to reach out into this world, not to see our name being glorified, not to see our flag being flown, but to see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed in this world. So thank you for your prayers for David and Pamela. Thank you, too, for the interest you've taken in Paul and Kate McFarland. And we've just produced new prayer cards, and I have actually Paul and Kate with me this morning. So if you particularly pray for Paul and Kate, then they're on the table at the back with other literature as you go into the foyer. Please don't pass them by. Just a quick update. Kate goes for more treatment on Thursday. She goes for treatment every 2 weeks. Thursday, a week ago, she was for treatment, and they've discovered Kate also has a gallbladder problem, has been having a gallbladder problem, so she needs to go for an MRI in relation to that. It's possible she'll need to have her gallbladder removed, and so they may have to postpone her treatment for melanoma, if you don't know, that she's going through, and then carry on with the treatment after that. They're not sure. So pray for Kate as she goes to an MRI, and for the doctor and team who are looking after her to have wisdom to know exactly when to treat her and so forth. But Paul and Kate are in reasonable good form, and I was with them Monday a week ago, and the church in Yall continues to grow, and they've seen some people leave, but they've also seen some people come, and they're encouraged overall by the work that they're doing there in Yall. I know as a church too, you've taken an interest in Andrew Rosalie Elliott, and you already have their prayer cards, and there's not very many left on the table outside. That's a good sign. Pray for them. Andrew's coming over and deputation soon in February. And Andrew will be at Missions Night on the 14th of May, Tuesday the 14th of May. A date for your diary. If you have your pen now, write it down, your prayer news, all right? May the 14th, 7:30, Lisburn Baptist Church. There's a coach, I think, been organized from Carrickfergus this year. I don't know who's in charge of that, but somebody's booking it. And a 53-seater coach coming to Missions Night on the 14th of May. You're not sure? Well, somebody get that organized, I'm sure, after the service. All right. Three ways to keep in touch with Baptist Missions. You can go onto our website. It's very similar actually to your own. I saw earlier on your screen. We have our website, irishbaptistmissions.org. You can also follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram as well, and at Irish Baptist Missions. If you are on Instagram or Facebook, then log into those things, please. That's a way of just keeping in touch more regularly on what's going on. And I suppose our primary source of communication is through this prayer news sheet that you have on your seat this morning. And can I urge you, if you're not somebody who usually gets prayer news, why not take a copy with you this morning? Sign up for our prayer news. You can go online and do that, or you can sign up this morning. Again, you can get a second free pen if you sign up for prayer news on the table in the foyer as you leave. But you know what? Here's the thing. Prayer is our most important thing. You know what? There's a group of ladies in Brock Sheen, one who's got fibromyalgia and other medical problems. Four ladies who gather together once a month, not just to pray for Baptist Missions, but you know what? They've got a bundle of papers this size of missionaries and missionary work across the world. I've joined those ladies a couple of times since I've started this job, and you know what? That's one of the best meetings I ever attend in the course of my year. Four ladies gathering together to pray for mission. And you know, mission moves forward, not because we've got fancy programs or great missionaries, but it moves forward on the basis of prayer. God's people are praying for God's work to be done. So if you're not somebody who gets prayer news, can I encourage you, take a copy this morning, sign up, and join our ever-growing prayer team. We need you to be part of what we're doing. We're also not just seeking to raise up 1,000 new prayer supporters. We'd also like to see 1,000 new people giving £10 a month to the work of Baptist Missions. Now, you as a church already give very generously to Baptist Missions, so I'm not going to make a big deal of that this morning. But there may be somebody here who says, you know what? I can have four less cappuccinos a month, or I can go without a Chinese, or whatever it might be, and I can give an extra £10 a month towards the work of mission to see the gospel advancing across the world. If you'd like to be counted in that, then pick up a leaflet on the way out again on the foyer. We've also produced a little booklet on short-term mission recently, and we're encouraged that actually this summer we've got four people considering going to France short-term. We've got a couple of girls hopefully going to Peru, and one young lady interested in serving in the Republic short-term over the summertime. So we praise God for that. We pray that all those details will fall into place, and pray that God will raise up more people to join us short-term. You may be somebody here this morning, and you say to me, Mervyn, you know, I'm a school teacher. I've got oodles of holidays in the summertime. No. I'm a university student. I've got lots of time, whatever it might be. Well, you might be considering a gap year, whatever it might be. Then come along, pick up one of our leaflets, and begin a conversation with us. Now, we're not a huge mission. We don't have hundreds of missionaries all over the world, but we're small enough to be able to tailor make a situation maybe that might suit you and the time you have available and where you'd like to serve and your language ability and so on. So if you are somebody maybe thinking about doing something short term, whatever your age, you're going to be over 18, but we haven't put any upper age limit on it. Then pick up one of our short-term leaflets and come and talk to us. Now, that signs in euros, I'm afraid. There's nothing political meant by that. I just couldn't find the sterling one. But you know what? One of the best ways of staying in touch and in tune what's going on in our family of churches is through our Insight magazine. And the good news is it's less in sterling. It's only £24 in sterling. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you this morning and find out how many people get the magazine here in Carrickfergus. But you know what? If we're in a family, we all like to get family news, don't we? Two of my kids now live in England. And so through WhatsApp, we have a family WhatsApp, we like to stay in touch what's going on. As I said earlier, we're part of a family of churches. Our family is about proclaiming Christ and planting churches. Our family is about making the person and name of the Lord Jesus known. If you want to know what God is doing through our family of churches, here in Ireland, in France and Peru and Spain, and across the world, what God is doing through young people, through women, through our college, this is one of the best ways we have of communicating to you, one of our family members, what's happening in the family. So again, can I encourage you, if you're not somebody who usually gets the magazine, it's £2 a month. Okay, so it's about 7p a day. It'll take you about 2 hours to read, I reckon. So that's about 2 minutes a day, because you have it for 2 months. So if you can spare 2 minutes a day and 7p a day, then the magazine could be yours and be a real blessing. And it's not for people over 50. It's for everybody. All right? So can I encourage you to be somebody who gets the magazine, reads it. And I talked to a man called Sam this morning. I didn't get his surname. But his elderly mother uses the magazine and prays her way through the magazine in all the things that she sees. And that's what we need more of in our churches, people praying and using the magazine. Well, what about the Baptist Missions family? Well, there's an outline of us all. France, Ireland, Peru, and Spain. You can see one family in France, 11 in Ireland, 12 in Peru, and 4 in Spain, and then Joanne and I in the office in Moira. I want to take you to Peru this morning. But before I do, we're going to try and watch a brief video of the camp work in Peru. And you as a church very kindly gave a very generous gift towards buying new mattresses for our camp center in Peru. And they arrived just in time before the summer camps in January that began last month. And so I haven't met any campers yet, but I'm sure there are lots of people having a much better night's sleep in the camp center in Ite as a result of the new mattresses that you purchased for the campsite there. So let's see if we can watch this video. Thank you, Hannah. Okay, well, obviously we're not going to watch the video. Hold on, we'll hold on there. We're maybe going to watch it now. No, okay. We won't watch the video then. Well, just to say, the mattresses that we bought were a real blessing to the camps in Peru. And when I'm back out there in May or June, I'm going to go and I'm going to deliberately lie on one of those mattresses to check them out. And the next time I'm back in Carrickfergus, I can let you know how good they are and how well they went. But 100 or so new mattresses were bought for the camp center there in Peru. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. Now, as you saw on that graph, Peru is still our largest field in terms of personnel in Baptist missions. And can I quash a rumor that I think is circulating out there somewhere in the atmosphere that Baptist missions don't have any interest in Peru anymore? Well, let me stand here this morning publicly in Carrickfergus Baptist Church and quash that rumor forever and a day. Baptist missions, we are in Peru and we're very much staying in Peru, and our largest field in terms of personnel is Peru, and we long to see more people being raised up to serve in Peru in the years to come. Now, this flicker stopped working now. Why is that? Okay. Well, anyway, John Alurde's brew. Okay, we're back to the video, right? Forget the video, right? John Alurde's brew are sent missionaries from here. Trevor and Christine Morrow, as many of you know, served faithfully for 26 years in the land of Peru. Last year, the mission took the very difficult decision of not sending Trevor and Christine back to the field. And we praise God that Trevor has found a new job now with OMS. And pray for him and Christine as they adjust to being back here in Ireland. But we still have John Alurde's brew in Peru. John Brew's been there since 1984, serving particularly in the seminary and preaching in the churches in the land of Peru. Pray for Lourdes at this moment in time. It's Lourdes' birthday actually tomorrow. And Lourdes' father, who's about 95, 96, is very ill and will soon probably pass away, but it's not the Lord's. And so Lourdes' really heart is broken at this moment in time, just hoping that her dad would come to faith in Christ before he leaves this world and goes into eternity. So pray, please, for them at this time. And pray, will you please, and the situation in Peru at the moment has been a huge flooding, and there's been a lot of torrential rain, both in Moquegua particularly, and in Tacna and other parts of Peru. There's been 6 people killed in the city of Moquegua over the last few days. We have a church there, we've people there, so please pray for them and pray for safety for all our people serving in Peru this time, because it is a dangerous time at the moment with those floods. Elizabeth Almanza is a young lady who serves alongside John in our seminary in Peru. We're seeking to train and equip men and women to be better leaders in the churches in Peru, and pray for her. We have a lady called Maritza Casa, who is an administrator. She does all the behind-the-scenes admin in Peru, and we value the work that she does, and she really is John's right-hand person in Peru in terms of all the admin that needs to be done. We have a radio station in Peru that broadcasts about 500,000 people in the city of Tacna, and another 500,000 people live in the zone of Tacna. And so Radio El Sembrador, the SOAR radio, is reaching potentially 1 million people every day through its programs that go out both in the city of Tacna and in the region. Will you pray for this couple, Raul and his wife Elizabeth Sanchez, and a young girl, Anna Mean, who works in the radio station as well in Tacna. 500,000 people being potentially reached with the gospel day in, day out through the Sower Radio. We also have the camp center, which obviously we didn't show the video, but it's a purpose-built camp center that can accommodate about 140 people. Some of you have been in Peru and teams have seen the camp center. I know some people walked around it when it was just a field. Derek and people maybe who just saw it when there was nothing there at all. But now it's a purpose-built, 140 people there, and it's a fantastic facility that we're hoping will be used more and more, not just by our own churches that we're part of in Peru, but also by other churches and groups throughout Peru as well. And Ingrid Lozano is the lady who at the moment currently heads up the work in the camp center. Our camps are over. They were in January, but there are other camps going on at the moment, other groups using the camp center, particularly over March and into April as the summer comes to an end in Peru. But this morning I want to focus in particularly on the church planting work that's going on in the city of Tacna and beyond. Proclaiming Christ and planting churches is what we're about. And back in 2017, this couple, Elisario and Esther Vargas, were here with us. Elisario is the pastor of the Pan de Vida Church, the Bread of Life Church in Tacna. And again, their church was flooded recently through the problems with the flooding, and thankfully no long-term damage was done to the building. But as well as leading the Pan de Vida Church in Tacna, Elisario is also overlooking other church plants that are taking place across the city. Now, the city of Tacna, like I said earlier, 500,000 people. So it's a little bit bigger than Carrickfergus. And here's what's happening in Tacna. And Dave has seen this when he was out with me in 2017. You can go to an area, if you can imagine this, a field. Now, it's very hard for us in Ireland to imagine a field that's brown, okay? But you imagine a huge field that's not green, but brown, dusty, dry soil. And there's nothing there. Nothing at all. And maybe a sign up, though, that says, in 6 months' time, the government's going to put in water and electricity into this area. And Elisario said to me a few years ago when he brought me to a place like that, he said, Mervyn, in 2 years' time, this area here will be full of people. Now, I looked at him and I kind of thought, really? And he said, yes. And we went back 2 years later and all that brown that you could see was now all bricks and mortar and buildings and housing and people. And there are thousands of people every month coming down from the Sierra. Some of the areas that the early missionaries who went to Peru up to reach are coming down every month to the city of Tacna. And their strategy that Elisario is heading up is this. Get a plot of ground, have somewhere to meet, because there's no community centers, there's no school buildings, there'll be no kind of independent place to meet in. Better plot of ground, put up a structure, and have somewhere to meet, so that when you go out and evangelize these people and see people come to faith, they'll have somewhere to meet in. Some of those church plants are being helped now by Richard and Fanny Rocky, who were in Ite in the camp center, but have moved to Tacna, or are moving to Tacna at the end of this month to help in some of this church planting work in the city of Tacna. Now, I don't know how you try and pronounce that pastor's name, but actually it's Jimmy. It's Jimmy. And there's Derek's got it because he knows the Spanish, but it's Jimmy, right, and his wife Lydia. They're heading up a church plant in a place called Agua de Vida, Water of Life. One of those places where, if you like, 2 years ago, there was nothing. Now there's all these people moving in, places being built, structures going up, and they're hoping to see a church planted there in that area. Now, it's small at the moment, not a lot happening, but there will be hundreds and thousands of people moving into that area, and they're seeking to evangelize them. Another couple, Miguel and Sonia Ankel, who are working in the north of Tacna, again in a new area. And what Elisario has done in the church in Pan de Vida, they've sent maybe 5 or 10 of their key people, a Sunday school teacher, maybe somebody who's involved in youth or whatever it is, to help in some of these new church plants to get them off the ground. And so they're sending people out from their church to help spearhead some of these new church plants as time goes by. I could take away from Tacna up to the city of Moquegua, like I mentioned earlier, where 6 people have been drowned in the last few days. We have a couple there, Wilfredo and Karina Romero, who are working in the San Antonio Church in Moquegua. And again, that church needs to be built up and grown. But also, too, we have a vision to reach out on up into a place called the Carumas Valley, where there's absolutely, as far as we know, no witness of any kind up there. Some believers may be left over from work that was done in the past. But we're hoping in time, as that church in McKegwa grows and becomes stronger, that they as a church will be able to reach out and begin to reach up into the Kurumas Valley. We have a building up there in Kurumas, but we'd love to see not a building, but we'd love to see people in that building gathering together to worship the Lord Jesus there. Many of you have been praying for Oswaldo and Gabriela Tonconi. Oswaldo is one of our longest serving Peruvians, working up in the Sierra at an altitude of maybe 13, 14,000 feet. It's very difficult to breathe. It's very difficult to work. And yet he runs around the place like a mountain goat because he's born up there. He can live up there. He's used to the culture and the climate. But pray for him and his wife. Tomorrow, they're heading up a seminary by distance learning where men who can't afford to go to Bible college, who don't have the privilege or the opportunity to do that, will come together and they have a seminary week of teaching and classes up there in the Sierra in the Pomata zone. It's happening this week. Will you pray for him and his wife and others who'll be involved in that, and the men who come will be equipped and helped to go back and help pastor and equip the churches they're involved in back up there in the Sierra. Now, there's a very brief overview of some of the work that you're involved in the land of Peru. And I know there's a team from another church going. Maybe some of you are joining it. Can I encourage you, if you're there, I know probably most of the activity will be in Arequipa. I think you'll spend some time in Tacna. See if you can convince John Brew to help you see. Go out and see some of these new church plants that are happening in the city of Tacna and get a taste and see what God is doing in that land. Will we send more missionaries to Peru? I hope we will. But in the meantime, what we're seeking to do is equip and strengthen the men and women that are currently serving with us, the Peruvians who are there, others who come and join us, to see the work consolidated and advanced in Tacna, in Moquegua, in other places as well, to the glory of God and the extension of his kingdom. Proclaiming Christ and planting churches. That's what we want to be about. Making Jesus known, looking to God, who alone can bring people from darkness to light, whether it's here in Ireland, in France, in Peru, or in Spain. And we're asking you to join with us, to pray, to give, to come, and to send, that the light of the gospel of God would shine ever brighter, both here and across the world, for the glory of his name. We're going to stand and sing, "Great is the darkness that covers the earth." Thank you.